Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the Bernstein and McKnight Show here on 670 The Score. Mark Grody is in for Dan. I'm still Connor, and of course, Mike Florio is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He is our guest, as always, Wednesdays at 10. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Mike, a huge trade in the NFL, one that we've been waiting on for quite some time. The Rams have forked over every single draft asset they could find to get Jalen Ramsey. Why are they doing this and paying the prices that they are?
Well, now, last year, the moves they made in the offseason and then the trade for Dante Fowler during the regular season, it felt very strategic and methodical and calculated. To me, this just felt like it was a desperation play. Now, the Rams had been one of the teams that had shown periodic interest in Jalen Ramsey. The Jaguars' position was we're not trading him, but they made it known what it was going to take to get him. And on Tuesday, the Rams decided between having Aqib Talib on injured reserve, he's the cornerback that they picked up last year in a trade with the Broncos, and then Marcus Peters, who they acquired in a trade with the Chiefs, they decided to get rid of Peters, Talib's on IR, and they mobilized this plan to get Ramsey. It just feels like desperation to me. I think if they were 5-1 or 6-0 right now, they don't do that trade. But they saw a great defense on the other side of the field on Sunday. The 49ers held the Rams to 78 passing yards. And it may have reminded Wade Phillips, the Rams defensive coordinator, of the defense he had in Denver, which 4 years ago on November 1 held Aaron Rodgers to 77 yards passing. And that was when we first took the Broncos seriously as Super Bowl contenders, and they'd go on to win it. And I feel like this is a move being made by the Rams to push themselves back into the conversation because they feel themselves fading.
Well, if that's the case, I guess I should ask you, does it push them back into the conversation? Because if it does, I don't think it is a desperation move.
Well, there's a lot of work they're going to have to do to win their division. They are behind the Seahawks at 5-1, the 49ers at 5-0, and they've already lost to each of those teams. You got to jump both of those teams to win the division, and that's going to be hard to do. You need both of them to collapse to a certain extent. And even then, if both teams don't collapse, you're looking at one playoff spot that's left over, and you've got every team in the NFC North at or above 500. You got the Panthers at 4-2. You've got the Cowboys and Eagles currently at 3-3 each. It's going to be a scramble for them to get to the postseason. They're going to have to go on the road. They're going to have to do it the hard way if they get there. So I don't know how much it really helps. And maybe it was just more thinking down the road, a combination of this year and next year. And then here's the other thing. We killed the Texans for not signing Laremy Tunsil to a long-term deal when they gave up 2 first-round picks and a second-round pick to get Tunsil, the left tackle, and Kenny Stills, the receiver from Miami. The Jaguars didn't do a long-term deal with Jalen Ramsey, and Deion Sanders was on NFL Network last night saying Ramsey may not do one. So what have you given up 2 ones and a 4 to get a 26-game rental and then the franchise tag dance? It's astounding to me that they didn't push this through to get a long-term deal done, because this was Ramsey's ticket out of Jacksonville. You're never going to get him in a spot where he's more willing to agree to financial terms that may not be as favorable as they possibly can be. And guys, here's what I think is going to happen down the road when these negotiations start, because the top corner makes $15.1 million per year right now. The Rams gave up more to get Ramsey than the Bears gave up to get Khalil Mack. You're going to start seeing arguments made that Ramsey should be paid on par with Khalil Mack at $23.5 million, not Xavier Howard at 15-1.
Yeah, that I would disagree with.
Oh, you're going to start seeing. Yeah, because, hey, they gave up. I mean, you cannot deny the fact that they gave up more net draft assets to get Ramsey than the Bears gave up to get Khalil Mack.
No, there's no doubt about it. The one part, though, that I would kind of disagree with you on is that you said that, okay, it's a 26-player or 26-game rental, which is true, but isn't that about right for the windows that exist in the National Football League? That okay, you've got 26 games to make something of this guy, and then still potentially extend him at some point. Isn't that about right in the NFL, 26 games to have a guy and a window that does exist right now, even though it doesn't look very good for the Rams?
But
right
to
now.
Give up 2 first-round picks that would give you 90 games for those guys before you have to worry about the franchise tag. 90 games, you get 5 years out of those first round picks. They give up two of them and a fourth round pick, which can be, if you use it properly, a low cost, great player that you can squat on for 3 years before you ever have to pay him another dime. You can't pay him another dime until he's got 3 years in. So, you know, what the Rams are doing, this is, I don't want to call it a Herschel Walker type of a trade, but, you know, in comparison, the Vikings didn't give up a whole lot more by way of draft pick capital than what the Rams have given up 30 years later. This is an all-in move to address a weakness that they think is the weakness that needs to be rectified in order to get them back into the conversation. And they only have a year and a half of security before they have to play the franchise tag game. And here's the other thing, too. The guy left Jacksonville not because the Jaguars made a conscious decision that they're going to maximize the return on a guy that no longer fits. He became a pain in the butt. And he had a case of the blue flu for 3 weeks. Oh, my back. Oh, my back. Now his back's fine, right? You think he failed his physical because of his back? Hell no. But he wasn't able to play in the last three games. And at some point, once you've shown you can stretch that rubber band to the point where you would do something like that, you have to factor that into your relationship with the guy, because you could be the next one that all of a sudden he can't play because of his back. And that makes me even more determined to, you know, do my homework, try to get a contract, and not put myself in a position where I may have squandered some valuable picks for a guy that I'm only going to have for a year and a half.
Talking with Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Segment brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. What do you make, Mike? Maybe GMs are evaluating first-round picks a little differently in terms of the actual value of them. We've seen, if I'm counting right, 6 first-round picks traded in this coming draft. Are people looking at it differently?
Well, no. I just think that for various reasons, you've got teams that are willing to give up current players for first-round picks. But also, who cares if you give up future first-round picks if there's a chance you're not going to be there to use them? And I think that mindset is always out there. Like, hey, we need to get better right now. Or, you know, and now that doesn't apply to the Rams. Those guys are going to be there to not use the first-round picks that they've given up. But for some of these trades, you know, like a Bill O'Brien, right? If it's a disaster for him in Houston this year, there's a chance that Cal McNair, who inherited the team from his dad, hits the reset button and just starts over again. So let's get the help. Let's get better now. And so far it's paid off. And yeah, we'll deal with the problem later that we don't have first round draft picks. But those, you could argue that first round picks are more valuable than they were 10 years ago because the rookie wage scale gives you the chance to get a great player. You have him for 3 years before he can ever say, pay me more money. And you pay the guys, especially in the top half of the round, a lot less money than you paid them prior to 2011.
Well, okay. So the other big story breaking last night, Ryan Tannehill looks like he will get the start for Tennessee at quarterback against the Chargers, in for the former number 2 overall pick, Marcus Mariota from 2015. What does that mean for the Tennessee organization? What are the ramifications of that?
Oh, I think Mariota's done there. I don't think he'll be back next year. You know, the questions going into this year, the top 2 picks in 2015, Marcus Mariota at number 2, Jameis Winston at number 1 in Tampa in the last year of their contracts, 5th-year option deal, $20 million in change, not a bad payday, but are these guys going to do enough to stick around? And Amy Adams Drunk, I think. I get the names all mixed up. But the owner, the one family member who has the ability to make the decision, she made the comment before the season began, we hope that Marcus can become our franchise quarterback, which implies he's not. And this was his chance to do it, and he's benched during the 6th game of the season. It doesn't bode well for him. And, you know, I love Mike Vrabel as a coach, too, but when you look at how they have been using the revolving door for coaches in Tennessee, and consider the franchise had Jeff Fisher from 1994 until 2010. He was there 17 years as the coach. Since then, and I've got it right here in the record and fact book, it has been Mike Munchak for 3 years, Ken Wisenhunt for 2 years, Mike Mularkey for 3 years, and he took him to the final 8. Mm-hmm. And Mike Vrabel is in year 2. I'd start to get a little nervous if I was Mike Vrabel, because they have an itchy trigger finger there in Tennessee all of a sudden.
Yeah, I would too. And the situation hasn't been great. But here locally, we're taking a look at this Marcus Mariota career. Uh-huh. And we're looking at the Jameis Winston career. And thinking, boy, doesn't it mean something for a franchise to be able to determine how good a quarterback is before you get to that 5th-year option, before you get to signing a $110 million guaranteed contract like Jared Goff has done. And knowing something matters. After 30 games with Mitch, I mean, people are out here wondering if Mariota, maybe his next step is providing some sort of competition for Mitch Trubisky in next year's camp.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all, because that's what Mariota is going to be relegated to. He's either going to be competing with a starter or, you know, another guy who's a potential starter, or he's going to be that short term. You hold up the jersey in March, this is our starter, and then they draft a first rounder in April, and it's just a matter of time before Mariota ends up on the bench. But you raise a great point about paying quarterbacks, and when you see what guys like Kyle Allen, Gardner Minshew are doing, Teddy Bridgewater, who is fairly well compensated for a backup, but he's not making franchise quarterback money. At some point, I thought it was going to happen with Jared Goff, and after this past Sunday with 78 passing yards, maybe the Rams wish they had done it. But at some point, somebody's going to say, no, we're not doing it. We're not going to pay you. Sorry, we'll find somebody else. And Trubisky could be the guy that that ends up hearing that. And I don't know if you guys saw this. They've updated the Westgate MVP odds. Because remember when Trubisky went from 200-1 down to 50-1?
Yes.
They all started, they bet down to 51. It's 1,000-1 now.
Oof. I think Danny Parkins needs to buy a new ticket there on the MVP. That's a tough one. Mike, appreciate it as always. Great chatting with you. We'll check in next week.
All right, see you guys.
That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. I hadn't looked that it was 1,000-1. I'm sure others have.
Yeah, it's so funny like how the conversation has changed. I mean, that craziness from the preseason, and that was because of all the talk we were doing for Mitchell Trubisky, and now we're just trying to find out. Another interesting thing too about what Dave Ragone was saying, the Bears quarterbacks coach, is a lot of this is going to be how he comes out of this. If he does play this week, that is Mitchell Trubisky, how does he look? Have things gotten better? The problem is, and he very well could get better. The problem is no matter what, whether he plays or not, if let's say he does play, he's going to be affected by that,
that
left shoulder. There is no doubt about it, and he's not going to be at full blossom, full Mitchell Trubisky blossom, because he's going to be thinking about that, and he's not going to be able to do everything he wants to do.
Now we've got another car on the excuse train. That's just what it is. We'll just hitch one more on there, and it'll be, wow, you know, how could he play well? It's his first game back, and he's playing hobbled.
Right.
And then he finally gets himself to, you know, playing a couple of games, and then it's, wow, you know, it's still affecting him a little bit. Sure, he's back in the rhythm of the game, but if he were healthy, he'd be playing a little bit different.
And, well, you don't want to get to 3-3 because, can you imagine, if the Bears are 3-3, can you imagine the chaos that's going to, with the Packers being 5-1 right now?
That's the context of this. I think you're absolutely right to point that out. Sure, they were 3-3 last season, but they didn't have a Green Bay team taking off 5-1, taking home games every single week and beating division opponents. That, the division is tough.
Yes.
Their schedule is tough. And you can look at that Philly game and go, okay, well, you know, they're getting beat. They're a little hurt. Fine. Still a tough game. You got to go to Philly. You got a Chargers team that's a little hurt, not as great, but that's still kind of a tough game. The next five are brutal parts of the schedule for the Bears.
Yeah. I mean, eventually you're playing the Chiefs. I think, is that at home or is that on the road?
Chiefs game is here, right?
Yeah, I think it is here. Dallas is on the road, and I realize Dallas is right in that middle place, but that's a dangerous game as well. And then, you know, you got all those games that you mentioned, and then you still have Detroit twice. And I'm starting to concede that they might be better, but it's such a trap. We do this every year with Detroit. We're all, you know, they actually look better this year. You know, watch out for Detroit. Keep an eye on those Lions. And it's never true.
Just remember, that Lions team is the same one that had a tremendous meltdown and tied a game with the Arizona Cardinals in week one.
They've got a tie. I mean, that says everything. Always be suspicious of teams that have a number in the third column.
Right.
I'm always suspicious of those teams.
Unless you had a quarterback die in the game, you got to worry about those ties. You have to worry about those. It's what they mean for a ball club. There is something about this conversation. We just got done talking with Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, and we mentioned the Marcus Mariota conversation and where he's likely at in his future going forward. He mentioned that he wouldn't be surprised at all if a guy like Marcus Mariota is added as competition for Mitch Trubisky. There is a piece of this Bears season that isn't hitting home with enough people, in my opinion. It's just there is an immediacy here. And it's being driven by two different factors that I just don't think is hitting hard enough. And it starts with the Saints game on Sunday. We'll get to it. We get back. Mark Grody is in for Dan Burns. We'll take a couple of phone calls too. Midday Midway is coming up at 10:40. It's the Bernstein McKnight Show, 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Bernstein and McKnight here on 670 The Score. Dan is out today. Medical procedure for Dan. Mark Grody is in. He is our Bears beat reporter here on 670 The Score. He is the sideline man for WBBM and just an all-around good guy. That's what people say about
Well, apparently I'm a little bit inept, though, right now. I love the scolding I'll take this one.
What happened?
From the 847. And thank you to all the people who texted, yes, the Dallas game is at home. But this texter says, Dallas game is a home game. Same with KC. I'm going to read it like I think he's saying it. Dallas is a home game. Same with KC. Got to be better, guys. Be prepared. It's not hard to look up. Schedule came out in April. That's the texter from the 847. I'll just take that.
I'll tell you, having worked just a little bit in baseball, you lose track of everything that matters to fans. Like just the little things like that, the minor, because you just, what does my next day look like? What is the schedule? When do I have to be at Halas Hall?
100%.
Who talks when? How do I best take this day down? Because you're just back from the jet lag in London. You had yourself the nice little mini vacation out there, a big vacation out there.
Right. And, you know, and that's another thing, too. Like, you're absolutely right. Like, when you are a beat reporter of any kind, it really is day to day. You wake up and say, okay, where do I have to be at what time? And, like, the London is a great example because my mom kept asking me, so what's going on with London? When are you going? When are you leaving? Mom, I don't know. I'm not even close to looking at that. I don't even know if the Dallas game is home or away, Mom. I have no idea. Don't ask me questions about the schedule.
No, exactly. Chargers are at home. You've got the Rams in LA. It's a Cowboys game at home, and the Chiefs are a home game as well.
I know this, that the Bears are hosting the Saints on Sunday. That's what I know. That's all I need to know. I'm a one game at a time guy. 3:15, I'll be there on the sidelines.
Sound like Dave Ragone, just Bears. One game at a time.
Right.
How
Sample
can we possibly
size.
Judge a quarterback after just one game? You know, I mentioned before we hit the break that there's something immediate about this season, and I think, you know, given the way Matt Nagy talked about what this offense could be coming into the year, you know, that we're at level 202, and, you know, the way that Mitch talked about the offense, the way everybody kind of talked about their expectations for this team and how things should grow, I think we kind of diluted the talk about just how immediate things are for the Bears right now. There's two factors at work here, and look no further than the Tennessee Titans to see how kicking the can down the road kind of affects your ability to really win football games. Same with Tampa. You have to win and understand both at the same time what your quarterback is capable of doing in the first 3 years. There are very few quarterbacks now drafted with the way the salary structure works that are going to get the kind of time that Drew Brees got, for instance. You might get chances, you know, like Teddy Bridgewater, who had his injury and is now backing up and being pretty successful, fairly successful as a starter. You might get more chances, but the full investment of an organization given to a quarterback now, it doesn't look the way it used to. There's a hard cap in this league. There's a fifth-year option that's very expensive. Quarterback contracts are very expensive. I don't know how many, you know, mini soft Blake Bortles-like deals are going to be out there for guys drafted in the top 15-ish, top 10-ish, top 5-ish, or two like Mitch has been. And the other part of it is this, especially for the Bears. What pushes the immediacy here is the defense. I know it. That's been mentioned and talked about, Super Bowl quality defense, all that stuff. Those evaporate fast. They can go away real quick. With a good offense, the way the Saints have been running, Alvin Kamara likely coming back healthy, one of the best wide receivers in the game coming up too. You need an interior presence in Akeem Hicks. Not having him will matter some. And I'm not saying that's the beginning of the end for this defense. It's certainly not the case. But defense from year to year evaporates some. It erodes some. And counting on it to be this quality, I'm including the Raiders game here too. Mm-hmm. Everybody has one. counting on it to be like that is really difficult to do in this game.
It was last year, probably, I would say, maybe through 9 weeks when I realized that the Bears realized that, okay, it's time to go into championship mode. And what I mean by that is we're going to have to scrap what we were doing with the offense in terms of going all out with it. We're going to have to pare it down just a little bit because we realize that if we're going to do any damage in the postseason or even get to the postseason, it's going to be because of our defense. So they started to go into that championship mode last year and said, you know what, we'll pick up the development in the offseason and we'll hopefully get to 202 with Mitchell Trubisky. And so then that was the plan in the offseason, and it's simply not there. So they are back in that championship mode again, where, as you said, they've realized that the only way they're going to do any kind of damage getting to the postseason or in the postseason is with that defense. And it's the same thing that I was talking about with Mike Florio, arguing with him to some degree about Jalen Ramsey. And he said, right, well, it's only a 26-game sample size you're going to have with Ramsey, so what's the point of giving up two? Well, 26 games is a hell of a lot of games in the NFL and practically a window. So that's why I think it's a smart move for them. And this window could close, let's say, in a couple of years, maybe 2 years. You get two more really great years out of Khalil Mack, you know, maybe more than that, considering he's Khalil Mack. But, you know, it will slow down. Windows close quickly in the NFL.
Then you got contracts coming up. You've got dollars to assign. You've got cornerbacks that you're going to have to find. Both Fuller and Amukamara are getting a little older. When you start playing out that two-year window, right? Need corners in this league to compete. Segment brought to you by the Chicago Fire Soccer Club. The Chicago Fire are headed back to Soldier Field in 2020. Join the movement today by placing a $20 deposit applicable to any 2020 ticket package or single game ticket, including the club's Soldier Field home opener versus Atlanta United. Visit chicago-fire.com to learn more. Let's head out to the phone lines, take a call or two. Emmett is in Nashville, and he has been holding for quite some time. Emmett, what's up, my man?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
How you feeling?
Okay. Hey, I understand the frustration that, you know, the fans have towards Trubisky, you know, and Nagy, but don't you have confidence in that Nagy can develop or at least evaluate a quarterback and then make a decision? Because we have to remember, this wasn't Nagy's quarterback. You know what I'm saying?
It's that's
like,
true.
You know, and that's why I kind of just pump the brakes a little bit. I mean, what is, you know, Nagy can't go out and say, man, this guy isn't any good and he's not progressing. You know, I mean, he just can't kill the, you know, Trubisky's confidence. You know what I'm saying? So
of
he
course.
Has to coach him up. He has to talk him up. And I just have confidence in Nagy. I mean, either, you know, they're going to cut and fish bait. But
what gives you, Emmett, what gives you confidence in Nagy specifically? His offenses, I mean, if you look back from the moment he started here, his offensive hasn't scored a whole lot of points. I mean, they don't generate points the way an offense needs to.
Well, look, we got every, I mean, he comes from Kansas, the coaching tree of Andy Reid, right? And there are, look how many quarterbacks, how many head coaches have jobs coming from Sean McVay?
A ton. And Andy Reid has a tree that's giant and massive as well. But listen, Andy Reid made bad quarterbacks look good. There, you know, the top coaches in this league have made Kevin Cobb look like a solid NFL starter for longer than it really needed to happen. And if that's the case, you need production. You know, if that's the case and this is your guy and this is that you have to keep coaching him up and this is the way we do. The Bears lack an offensive identity, save a reasonable expectation to see a big rebound from Mitch as he comes back off an injury in Sunday's game against the Saints.
You think the Bears will win Sunday?
No.
I do.
Do you?
I do, yeah. I think this is going to be like, I don't know if they take off from here, but I think that this, just because of the time off that they've had, and I guess I have more faith in Matt Nagy than the previous caller did. He kind of liked
seemed to have
what Nagy
good
was doing.
Deal of faith. I didn't measure it.
Right.
I didn't really ask.
Yeah, no, I think this is the one that gets people back on the bandwagon to some degree. I don't know that, like I said, I don't know that they blast off like they did from last year, but I think that everything is in place for the Bears to win this week.
The best thing I've seen from Matt Nagy all season long is the fact that he has adapted his game plan kind of drastically each and every week. It's not the same stuff. It's not a John Shoup offense. You know, it's not this over and over and over again stuff. Sure, the same kind of frustrations exist because a player and personnel have been underachieving. You know, Adam Shaheen is essentially absent. The offensive line has been rough, especially in the run game. David Montgomery dances a little bit. All those kinds of things. Those are all true. But the game plan and how he's looking to attack individual defenses has changed to try and exploit the weaknesses of that defense. I think that's a big step in the right direction for Matt Nagy.
I think the best asset that any coach in any sport can have is the ability to adjust in game and to adjust throughout the season. And man, in Nagy's case, he's had to totally and completely change his identity and what he wants to do. So part of that is him, like I said, tearing out a few pages in the playbook. He, trust me, and you know this, he hates having to do that. He hated having to even do it to a lesser degree last year and conceding that it's about the defense, with which he has very little to do because he's good at delegating authority like he did with Vic Fangio and Chuck Pagano this year. He can't stand it. He hated it that all the all pros and pro bowlers, except for Tariq Cohen, were, well, I guess Trubisky too, were on
Charles
the defense.
Forgot about that. I keep on forgetting about that one.
I know, but it's a little bit convoluted. We all
he's
know
an
that.
Alternate to the backup.
We all understand that it was the defense that had the legitimate Pro Bowlers and all pros to that end. And you know, Nagy's competitive spirit didn't like that. He loves that his defense is great, but you know what I mean. Like he wants the offense to be great. His identity is offense. He was hired to make the Bears offense better, and I still think it's very possible that the offense gets good and that Trubisky can be very good as well, but it ain't there right now.
Mark, there's a little breaking news. We had seen this earlier reported, and now it is official. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim have made Joe Maddon their new manager. He gets a 3-year deal as a Troy. USA Today, ESPN has two. Deal likely 3 years in the $12 to $15 million range. So let's see, that's like the 4.5-ish, 5-ish kind of thing.
So close to what he made with the Cubs.
Close to what he made, a little bit of a cut. He gets to go to the Angels, a franchise he is very familiar with, a franchise that does have some issues surrounding it right now, especially with the reports out of Tyler Skaggs' death coming from a fentanyl opioid overdose. And then reports, too, from a high-level staffer, reports, rather, that featured a high-level staffer with the Angels admitting that he's the guy who had been involved in some of this opiate trafficking. That's going to be a big story in Major League Baseball. It sounds, too, like they're going to implement some opioid testing in Major League Baseball as well because of this.
It's a huge, horrible story, but this is a good move by the Angels because he's the perfect guy to come in from the outside. He doesn't know anything about anything. That wasn't on my – well, you know, Joe Maddon can say that. So anybody that they brought in, that was going to be the case. But you have, you know, Joe Maddon, who is the, you know, prodigal son of the Angels. I mean, so many references from Joe Maddon throughout his years were about his days with the Angels and making his way through that organization. So I think he's and I know that Maddon said some stupid things during the Addison Russell times and stuff like that, but this is a case where he truly can be the guy who can be like, that wasn't on my watch, and I'm Joe Maddon, and I'm going to, you know, they'll tell him what he has to take seriously and what he is responsible for, but that's just a good hiring.
Congratulations to Joe, a job well earned. I mean that, too. That is a job well earned from him. And I don't think this speeds up the Cubs timetable for announcing whoever it's going to be, David Ross, as their next manager. But at some point, you'll hear that as well. Midday Midway's on the way. Chicago ran a test program the last couple of months that many noticed and many got hurt during. I'll tell you that what it was and that it's ending, we'll say goodbye to something they tried and didn't work out all that well.
I got an anniversary, and I've got the Wheel of Fortune.
Midday Midway on the way. Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year. three, four.
The most exciting thing on the midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the midday midway with Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Midday Midway up in just a second. Here's what we were doing on the show, though, to start things off. We had a conversation with Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, right around 10 o'clock. Go ahead and use the Radio.com app. If you're on it, missed it, just hit the rewind button a couple of times. Go right back to the talk with Florio. If you're wondering what the Jalen Ramsey trade was all about as it concerns the Rams and the Jags and what it means for the scope of the NFL, too, he also kind of centered the conversation we were having about Mitch Trubisky, the likelihood that he'll be back against the Saints, I think, and exactly what it means to not make a decision on a quarterback like the Tennessee Titans did with Marcus Mariota, just kind of continuing to hope and hope and wait and hope that the former top pick would turn out to be the franchise quarterback that they wanted. Hasn't worked out that way. Neither has it for Jameis Winston. Both quarterbacks taken 1 and 2 in that draft, 2015. Fifth-year options were picked up, and I just don't want to see the Bears end up in a similar situation, waiting and hoping and waiting and hoping and never really getting to a spot where you're going to win playoff games.
Did you hear Mike Lombardi this morning at all? When Molly asked him about Jameis Winston, like, he couldn't even get the question out of it. He goes, Molly said something to the degree of, is there hope at all for Jameis? And then he jumps in, Lombardi, and goes, there is no hope at all for Jameis Winston. Lombardi, the quarterback killer, man.
Well, I'm just glad they were able to find a quarterback Lombardi could hate more than Mitch. That's good. I'm glad.
He hates young quarterback.
It's tough work. He's Mark Grody in for Dan, by the way. Dan is out. He's having his 50-year-old birthday present administered. Oh, and also we talked about the breaking news.
Oh, Bernstein's not here. Well, he'll be back tomorrow.
He will. He'll be back tomorrow. We also talked about the news. God knows. Really? You're going to ask me what Terry Boris was doing? I have
Bernstein's not here.
I have no idea.
Well, he'll be back tomorrow.
I don't know what Terry was doing, and I'm fairly confident Terry didn't know what he was doing. We also talked about the breaking news that the Angels hired Joe Maddon, that coming out officially today. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Fan four packs are a fantastic way to enjoy Chicago Wolves hockey. 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, 1 large popcorn, 1 low price. To get yours, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We are winners. We are the Wolves. So the city of Chicago embarked on a pilot project of scooters in and around the Wicker, Logan,
yes,
Bucktown area. Did you, Mark Grody, did you scoot?
I didn't never scoot.
You never scooted.
I didn't trust myself to scoot.
I scooted. Many more times.
Of course you did.
Than I thought I would. Well, because I've seen these, but we talked about it when the program was going to launch, about just how much of trouble it has been in places like Indianapolis,
yeah,
and Phoenix.
I'm divvied.
It's a convenient thing for people to get around town, but invariably what happens with these scooters is people get hammered, they pick them up and chuck them into the river or throw them into the lake or set them on fire or something. I have literally seen all three of those things happen, and not just here in town.
Chuck them in the river?
And it wasn't me. So the Trib wrote up the pilot program, which is over. The 4 months is over. We don't know whether the city's going to pick it up and make it a permanent thing. There were 15 companies that were given contracts to have scooters in and around that area. There were, according to Trib, 772,450 rides, about 7,000 a day. 7,300 took the scooter survey. Largely, people liked it when they used it. There were only 30-some trips to the emergency room because of the scooters. And I got to tell you, at 7,000 rides a day, I thought that number could easily have been tripled. Like with emergency visits and stuff. I've heard some harrowing stories about people who rode the things, but by and large, I think people actually kind of liked it. I was surprised that the city handled the scooter program as well as it did.
That's shocking. I did not trust us as a city
to handle that well. I don't have a lot of trust.
All right. There is, if we are allowed to, there is a White Sox anniversary today.
Ground ball to first. The White Sox have won the pennant. Jose Contreras goes all 9, and the White Sox are going to the World Series.
Yeah, and I was there. I covered that entire World Series run for the White Sox when I was at our down-the-hall sister station, WBBM. It is the 14th anniversary of the White Sox clinching the American League Championship Series in 2005 in Anaheim. That was a 6-3 win, and just it's amazing to go back and look at how dominant that pitching was. The Sox, first of all, in that game, trailed 3-1 after 5. Joe Creedy, a home run and 3 RBIs. Konerko, a big RBI double in the ninth. Jose Contreras, as Joe Buck mentioned, the complete game.
That's right.
And then Connor, all complete games for the White Sox in that series.
Unreal.
Mark Burley, Freddie Sweaty Garcia, and John Garland had complete games. Because I was thinking, and I was like, who closed that? It would have been about, no, there was no
Nobody.
Need for a closer. It's you forget just how dominant the White Sox were in that run. And then, just for the hell of it, a 4-game sweep in the World Series against the Astros.
Speaking of the ALCS, Jeff Passan just posting this. Game 4, is this right, guys? I want to make sure I'm reading it right. Game 4 of the ALCS has been postponed. So, what? I mean, a question whether it was right or not, just that I was reading it right. The fallout's going to be awfully interesting, he says. Tanaka and Greinke will pitch on full rest in Game 4 when it happens, and it helps the Yankees. That's interesting. No ALCS today. It has been postponed.
Rain?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's been some weather in and out of the area, I guess. This story comes to us from South Carolina. A visiting family fished a large package out of the ocean. They were staying in a rental home, opened up the package in Beaufort County, South Carolina, to find this is a large. I mean, look at the thing. Don't tell people what you're seeing next to it, but that is a large. It's opened up and found 44 pounds of cocaine in the package. The family of 5 with kids. They dragged it on a beach.
Kids
lugged it to the rental house in a golf cart. We are going to have some fun tonight. Oh. Family bonding. Sliced it open, found a whole bunch of bricks, and figured the value is about $600,000. Nobody knows really quite where it's from, but that is a very strange family vacation, one the kids won't forget.
You know, with all the stuff about heroin going on, it's good to hear a cocaine story every once in a while.
Get it
you
back
know what
into
I mean?
The cycle.
Whatever happened to good old-fashioned cocaine. Continuing on with the Midday Midway. There was a very unique, and you don't get this a lot on the Wheel of Fortune. It's you usually know what to expect. It's comfort food, that show is, I feel like, for people. But there was a very unique contestant whose name is Blair Davis. And here's how this went down with old Pat Sajak.
Talk about your family.
I've been trapped in a loveless marriage for the last 12 years to an old battle axe named Kim. She cursed my life with 3 stepchildren named Star, RJ, and Ryan, and I have 1 rotten grandson.
Go Bears! That was awesome.
I saw this. We're going to have to retweet this from the show account. The guy looks like he could be on Duck Dynasty. He's got one of the beards like
yes.
that.
I thought he looked like the lead singer from Anthrax. Remember that guy?
Yeah, I can see that
Scott
too.
Scott somebody
like
or other?
Like an older Scott version.
Ian. What is it? Who was his name?
Scott Ian, and he was a guitar player, not the singer.
Oh, he wasn't?
Had that beard, though.
Ass.
Why are you so mad? Like, you said that with anger, Jay. What have I told you about embarrassing me on the radio?
I like, it's it's somewhat misogynistic, but the phrase battle axe to refer to really anybody. Like, I want it to be broadened to not just like, the wife and she's the aunt, because that's a really tired thing. We're kind of done with that, but referring to someone as an old battle axe is hilarious.
And the conviction with which he said it as well. Like, he came out. So, just so you know, he said it was a joke and he loved them and all that kind of stuff. But it was just fun.
I love that old battle axe.
That old battle axe. My life is just absolutely miserable. But that was nice to see them shake it up for once on the Wheel of Fortune. Bears.
That is the Midday Midway. We do it every day here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Lovely to have Mark Grody in for Dan. We will have Hub Arkish coming up in just a couple. Hub is ours on Wednesdays. He's yours on Fridays. Hub's going to be in studio. We'll hang out with him. Right now, though, it is time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash here on The Score. The hour's keyword is GROW. Text GROW to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword GROW to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Do not text and drive. Please don't. It's dangerous. Message data rates may apply. Segment brought to you by Fisher Oven Roasted, never fried, nothing to hide. Nuts. Hub Arkish is on the way. We will talk NFL and Bears with him. 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.